Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app.
Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA Choice Boneless Beef Chuck Roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon.
Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you so much for joining us on the absolute darkest timeline of ROH. We thank you so much for being here. We've got a lot to talk about. That is not because of how great the talent are on the show. They're fantastic. And we're going to talk about some really good things on tonight's episode of ROH. But we're also going to talk about the greater ROH picture and why, in God's name, what karmically on earth did I do to deserve another Chris Jericho ROH title reign? What did I kill somebody? Did I rob the homeless? What did I do to deserve another Chris Jericho title reign? I've got a lot of things I want to get off my chest, and it's got nothing to do with John Cena or the boys in the back. I got a lot of things to say about Chris Jericho winning the way he won, what this means for the product, and I'm sure my wonderful co-host, SB3, who I'm joined by, as always. SB3, how you doing?
I am doing a lot better than Kate.
say you open with the darkest ROH timeline, and it's all doom and gloom.
because I do see, maybe it's just me being optimistic. Maybe it's, you know, in my old age, me trying to look at the silver lining of things. I can see some of the reasons why you do this, but I'm not going to say it now, because it would only take away from Kate in her full ranting mode, which always creates great content. So I'm not going to say it now. I'm going to try to be optimistic after Kate lets out, because the best thing for a wrestling podcaster to do is, when they're feeling a certain way, just rant it out.
Truly, I'm at my best when I'm at my most miserable. But guys, if there's anything you want to talk about, if you want to send condolences to me because I don't deserve this, feel free to get in your super chats. We appreciate it. No humper chats for this part of the show. We also have Joel and Cresta, who are going to have your Bound for Glory go home, which is coming right up, man. These Impact TNA specials, TNA Impact specials, come fast and furious, but we do have the big one coming around the corner. So many exciting things happening on there. Wendy Chu on tonight's show. You got Joe Hendry versus Nick Nemeth coming up. The Knockouts picture is always, always, always incredible. So you're going to want to stick around for the TNA part. And in addition to leaving a thumbs up, which we always ask of you, we're going to ask you to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. So much going on behind the paywall these days. We've got a Discord there if you want to talk to normal people, if you don't feel like fleeing to Blue Sky and Threads, which everybody seems to be doing just to talk about wrestling. You can hop in the Fightful Select Discord. Sean drops scoops in there sometimes before he even bothers to write up the post. There is an Ask SRS channel too that I think is so, so valuable. A lot of stuff that's gone up there this week. Some details about NXT and the pacing issues that have been kind of going on early in the CW era. It felt like Zarya, the former Delta Brady, her introduction was great, but it also at the same time felt like it might have got cut off quickly. So Corey Brennan was sniffing around that. The news on Samantha Irvin, we had the most accurate of the details, it looks like. So you're going to want to subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Not to be a shill, but I am one. I get paid by Fightful, so I can talk about how much I love Fightful. But one thing that I feel like that I've noticed in the past month is there's aggregates, and there's some that do a really great job, so I don't mean to make this a blanket statement, but when I look at a couple of things from probably the past month or 6 weeks or so, Sean's report on the Lucha Brothers and Sean's report on Samantha Irvin, I thought were why you subscribe stuff, stuff that is well beyond the headline, like contract news and stuff. We're always first to have it. We always have accurate details on it, but you can pretty much get the gist of so-and-so signed out of place. Things like that Lucha Brothers report, things like Samantha Irvin, clear, clarified, accurate details. The Lucha Brothers report in particular, I always keep pointing out because it had everybody's sides involved. It had clarity around what the difference between the legal statute was and contract tampering, like really, really thorough and well done stuff by Sean. So subscribe at FightfulSelect.com. But we're going to get into this ROH stuff, which, man, I can safely say this. I feel like Sean puts in more effort behind his paywall than ROH is putting behind theirs. Like, I hate it for the talent. I was livid yesterday, not only with the Chris Jericho win, which we're going to talk about before we get into any of this, but the way that he won, the unearned shot at Jay Briscoe, Jay winning, giving him a rematch for no reason, and then Chris Jericho winning anyway, I thought was so poorly done. Nobody was asking for this title reign. It feels like they made ROH the Chris Jericho dumping ground, but I can't even say that because ROH tapes on Saturdays. I cannot tell you the last time I remember Jericho being on a Collision. I don't have hopes that he's going to be around the ROH product, and I am so sick of coming on the show, SP3, and saying, where the hell are the champions? Brian Cage was on here tonight. He's also in a tag team on Dynamite. Like, I think Ian Riccaboni said that the Infantry had 12 wins. 12. Not like 5 in a row to get contendership. Over double that. And like they have an ongoing feud with a different team, right? Than who they were facing tonight. And that other team just won. Like it's so insulting to the talent. And it sucks for the viewers who are paying $9.99 for the most poorly booked product in wrestling. And that includes NXT. And you guys know how I feel about NXT. NXT is a poorly booked show. But I believe there is an effort there. I just do not align with what those efforts are. Like, I don't like the way Ethan Page was booked as champion. I didn't like the way Trick was booked as champion. But I think they're making attempts with people. This is just wasting talent's time. And a lot of people say, oh, but they get a payday and whatever. They could be getting paydays on the indies. This gets taped on Saturdays. And that's not enough. Just to say, like, well, you're better than Beauty Catering or whatever. Knock that shit off. Give them some credit. Give them some respect. Give them a creative effort, literally at all. And for the love of God, stop making your world title lineage a disgrace by doing this. Mark Briscoe felt like ROH, at least. Eddie Kingston, strap him up with everything. Like, that guy's gonna make everything feel important all the time. But the Continental Classic Triple Crown was a disaster of an explanation for what it was, right? Like, Claudio was around a little bit more, and his defenses were memorable, and it established a really cool heel turn, so it was productive. The idea that you're strapping up Chris Jericho, whose first reign sucked. It sucked. But I was told it was to shop a TV deal, and now everyone's telling me, well, it's to shop a TV deal again. It didn't work the first time! What are we doing? You want to fail intentionally again? And it's not even just that the champions aren't on the show. We've seen a little bit more of them on the show. There's not, and I'm sorry to do this, but we're out of the curse window of 5 minutes, a fucking contender being built up on this show. Why do so many things happen on AEW television when they already have more than enough titles? And why on last night's Dynamite was the only title defended, the ROH title, and put in the hands of someone that fans actively do not want to see as champion? Not cute little heat, whatever. Go away. Get off my screen. Please retire. Go away, Chance Chris Jericho. What on earth is this? Because AEW's own titles are basically exclusive to Dynamite. Collision, it just feels like they've given up on. Rampage is mostly like, these are going to be some banger matches for an hour. I accepted that. But come on, man. This is ridiculous. It is so unfair. What are the talent in ROH working for? Honest to God. What TV station is going to pick up a product where there's no champions around except Athena and no contenders around except Athena. I can't even really say that about Red Velvet. She's at least around and she's had a defense, which is more than Billy Stark's historic reign. That was the first one, right? The tag titles, the six-man titles, the TV titles, now at least on Brian Cage makes a little bit of sense, but that guy's in a tag team on Dynamite too. And the world title being handed from AEW main roster star to AEW main roster star to AEW main roster star is such a disservice to ROH. And for the talent that's established there and the talent you're trying to grow, how are people supposed to develop if this is supposed to be hybrid developmental and whatever? How are people supposed to develop when they're not chasing anything? You have Lee Moriarty and you have Brian Cage around. Brian Cage, I'm sure, will just be on Dynamite soon enough without this. Shane Taylor challenged in August!
That was after he challenged in, like, April.
Yeah! He gets a seasonal challenge that he's not allowed to follow through on. If this ends up... We don't even know if there's going to be Final Battle. I haven't heard a single detail about Final Battle. Is it happening? I would like to know. If this isn't done exclusively to strap up either Brian Keith or Big Bill, and I still have hesitations about that because they're both going to be on the main roster too... What the is the point of this? I'm apoplectic, as you can see. Ridiculous. SP3, calm me down.
I first want to say that rant was spectacular.
Thank you so much.
That was a spectacular 5.5-star rant by...
That shit was in the Tokyo Dome, SP3.
If it was in the Tokyo Dome, it probably would have gotten 7, but I'm going to give it 5.5. 5.5-star rant right there. And like I said, I will try to bring some optimism to this, to just talk about the match first.
You are a married man and you're trying to calm a woman in my state down. What the hell?
I know. No, I know. It's dangerous. I want to say the match in a vacuum, it was entertaining.
It was
I'm going to give Mark Briscoe most of the credit because he stopped Chris Jericho's streak at WrestleDream of having the worst match on every single pay-per-view he was on in 2024.
Oh my God. And the only thing he could do before this past match is a plunder match. Like before these two with Mark Briscoe, his plunder matches were passable. But if you weren't like going incredibly slow and throwing like casino dice at him, it was... terrible, i.e. him versus Hook. He can't jump for suplexes anymore. White men can't jump, etc.
Good one. So he's been able to get two entertaining matches out of Chris Jericho. But like I said, it's entertaining in a vacuum. Because if you go outside that vacuum, oh my God, this match made no freaking sense. Oh, no fucking sense. We're out of the window. No fucking sense at all. Because how they set up this matchup was, first of all, Chris Jericho said that Mark Briscoe cheated when Mark Briscoe beat him clean. And he just gives him a shot because he mentioned Jay Briscoe. Now, Kate made good points of it was very unnecessary, unearned, mentioning Jay Briscoe. But also, if you're going to go there... at least actually go there. This is the things he said about Jay Briscoe. Jay Briscoe is better than Mark Briscoe. I'm sorry. That's not like a hot take. It's not Randy Orton telling Rey Mysterio that Eddie's in hell. It's not that. It's not that. It's a compliment to Jay Briscoe. He's saying, oh, you're not as good as Jay. Jay can probably beat me, but you can't. And then he said, I want to be a two-time Ring of Honor world champion like Jay Briscoe. He did not do anything creative with the mentioning of Jay Briscoe. He actually complimented Jay Briscoe. But Mark, you know, I can understand Mark from a character standpoint saying, you mentioned my brother's name, version in a lot of war. That's all great and dandy. And I would love to do a Mark Briscoe impersonation because of that. But then you watched this show yesterday, which was objectively actually worse than Title Tuesday, which I thought Title Tuesday had been the benchmark for the worst Dynamite show of the year. But But I think I was harsh on that because it felt like Tony Khan was a kid in a school being bullied and he wasn't fighting back. This one was objectively just bad because how they set it up was Chuck Taylor going outside to tell Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly that Mark Briscoe's match was next. So then we actually saw Kyle O'Reilly come out on stage with Mark Briscoe.
And then he went to the back.
He wanted to see Mark Briscoe face him one on one. Then in the matchup, you had Brian Keith climb the ladder, and then Rocky Romero came out to make the save with the kendo stick. Then you had Big Bill come out. And I'm just like, I'm sitting here and I'm watching this matchup, and I'm like, okay, so Kyle O'Reilly is going to come out right now, right? 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 No. Choke slam through the two tables on the outside. Big Bill has time to first tell Chris Jericho to get up, go climb the ladder. Then he just decides, I'll do all the work. Puts Chris Jericho on his back, climbs the ladder so Jericho can grab the title. And Kyle O'Reilly never came out. You can give me the excuse that Orange Cassidy was just too in his head because
what
he's
about Ishii, about, man? He comes out 5 minutes later.
They made it worse. It was two people, which you gave us no reason whatever for not helping Mark Briscoe. Then you gave us a third person, and then literally, they didn't even give us time to be upset about Mark Briscoe losing in this fashion. They literally said 10 seconds later, hey, here's Ishii to come out and be the next challenger for Chris Jericho. And I will say, Ishii was the only bright spot of the first Ring of Honor World title reign of Chris Jericho. He gave him that great match where he made Jericho's titty bleed on Thanksgiving in 2022. Great stuff. But
full of
my
gratitude
Lord,
for Jericho's bloody titty. Really.
My Lord, what are we even doing?
It wasn't so good we were like, oh, I hope they run that back. No! My God. Yeah, Mark Briscoe, apparently baby faces can have no friends. Doesn't matter what company you're in, and they're also kind of idiots. And also, like, people were like, yeah, but Big Bill carried him up the ladder like he's carrying him. Get it? I don't like tongue-in-cheek about stuff that sucks in real life. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Like, the cutesy stuff, knock it off. It's not good. It's bad. It is full-on bad. Nobody was asking for it. There's no data. There's no, like, huge rating spikes when Jericho's on. It's just bad.
Because that was my whole reasoning to support the Learning Tree gimmick, 6 months ago. Is that, yes,
sure,
at
right
that
up
time,
front, I was
at,
with you.
At that time, there was an actual bump when Jericho was on the show in comparison to everybody else. But like I said, that was 6 months ago. I will say it here. I will say it a bunch of times. Tony Khan, if you're watching this, the roof will not cave in if you don't push Chris Jericho. I promise you. You just got the TV deal. There's no reason why we had to sit through a 4 to 5 month reign of Chris Jericho as FTW champion. And literally the next pay-per-view we saw him on, the guy that beat him for the FTW title is nowhere to be found. He has been in zero pay-per-view matches since beating Jericho at All In, while Jericho keeps getting on pay-per-view, keeps getting on every week of Dynamite. Now he has another title that he's going to bring down.
On a show that already has so... I actually don't feel like AEW has too many titles. I know a lot of people feel that way. I think they have a tremendous lack of clarity around those titles, and I feel like they're not spread out enough across three brands at all. I feel like the number they have is fine. The intent behind those titles, nobody can tell me what they are. And that's a mess. Because if I don't know what the titles are, they don't know what the titles are. Like, it's a mess. It's a mess. And it's all solvable. Yesterday's episode, I do feel like it was to set up stuff that's coming up. Like, I do feel like it was one of the worst episodes of AEW of the year, for sure, for me. It felt... My problem with AEW last night, I said this and I'll say it here, it didn't feel like a bad episode of Dynamite. It felt like a bad episode of SmackDown to me. It felt like a bad episode of SmackDown to me. You had a stable kicking things off with a vignette that did a end of the show beatdown that feels like the Bloodline to me. Two tag squashes, one women's match that kind of got time, one thing in the middle that was booked for Heat. That felt like a 2023 Vince era SmackDown to me, what I was watching. If there's a bad Dynamite, but it took creative risks that failed, I totally get it. But somewhere along the line, it has felt like between All Out and now, which is a really quick drop off, and with an incredible pay-per-view in WrestleDream in there, they have just been like, we don't give the crowd what they want anymore. And I'm not saying the Mox thing, because I understand that you're not giving the crowd what they want for a creative reason, and you're doing this umbrella angle, right? But you're also doing a Soul of AEW angle right after a failed Soul of AEW angle. Like, you just did this with the Bucks. It didn't work. I actually like a lot of what they're doing with Mox. I thought the best part of the show last night was Orange Cassidy's reaction. And I find this all very viable for this chapter of what the Blackpool Combat Club's become. But, like, the structure of the show to me yesterday felt as off to me as the content of the show yesterday. And that was very frustrating. But yeah, why be frustrated with that when we can be frustrated with ROH?
Because we did pre-tape promo into in-ring promo, into a backstage promo, into a match, into an in-ring promo, into a backstage promo. Like, yeah, oh my God, this is AEW with the best wrestle?
Do they
Where's
wrestle?
The wrestling?
You wouldn't know it yesterday. Kyle Fletcher's out there trying to get Heat shaving his head. He's like, I am nothing like you, Will Ospreay. I was like, Will Ospreay doesn't have home improvement son hair. Like, why are you shaving your head? But my God.
I enjoyed that part. But it's like, when you have so much stuff that did not hit on this show, yeah.
You know what? Before we dive into the actual episode, I will say this. I felt like that promo was too long. I thought Kyle Fletcher handled it extremely well. Because when people chant wrap it up at you, that's not boo, you suck. When people chant wrap it up at you, that's something that is so specific. And when he said, Don Callis bought me all the TV time I want, I was like, what? And like, on your feet thing to say. Like, I thought his delivery was great. I just thought, he said you people in the first 20 seconds. I'm like, is this WWE? Like, I'm getting a you people promo from Kyle Fletcher? Damn.
In 2024.
In this wrestling economy? Get out of town. But let's get into this episode of ROH. We're done airing our grievances about last night and Jericho's title reign. We thank you for hanging out with us. And we do have some super chats from you guys. Thank you so much. Thank you so, so much. Shame Monster saying, TMDK, who you met, by the way, since the last time we did a show. SP3, weddings and a funeral. I like that one a lot. I don't know what the end game to all this Y2 jabroniness is, but if both Big Bills are world champs by the end of the year, thumbs up. It needs to be at Final Battle, assuming one is happening, because this is inexplicable otherwise. But I also don't want Big Bill. If he's going to be ROH champion, I want him on this show. You know what I mean? And I don't think that's the direction they'll go with him. Is that excusable to you if this Jericho title reign ends in either Brian Keith or Big Bill winning?
I know how this Jericho reign ends. It's because, like you said earlier, we've seen it 2 years ago. It ends with Mark Briscoe winning at Final Battle. It's so predictable. It really feels like they put the Ring of Honor world title on Jericho so Mark Briscoe could be in the Continental Classic again and take losses.
Or it'll be like, or it'll end that way, but he'll face Jack Perry title for title for some reason. Like, but it'll, you know what I mean? Like, we're going to get him facing other AEW champions just to get under my skin even more. But just Ricardo, who is so loyal to us that even when he's at work, he sends us chats. We thank you so much for that, saying, hey guys, almost 4 years, a member, 44 month member, Ricardo. Thank you so much. Jericho makes me want to swallow jumping chala cacti.
I feel like that line Mariah May said about Britt Baker, that I wanna fall on a tongue scraper.
That's pretty good. On NXT, the Nikita Lyons and Opa Femi pairing had Alex Pawlowski say, I jumped out of every building or window in my house. And he said, I actually need a taller house with taller windows so I can jump from higher. That I feel like I need a taller house with taller windows so I can jump from higher when I see this. Me and Normus with his regular meat chat. Thank you so much. He says, I'm about to smoke some jerk chicken. We just call that Jericho chicken around these parts, eh? Let's crank. If Jericho winning leads to a TV deal, I'll calm down. Until then, why the mother effing F, partners? I couldn't agree more than with that. And it didn't work last time, so I don't know why they would go to that well again. But I wish if they were going to do something like this, it would be, I mean, at the most selfish level, it would be a Nigel McGuinness pure title run, right? But I don't want that for Lee Moriarty yet. But like Roddy Strong coming back to ROH, a returning Adam Cole coming. If Adam Cole beats Chris Jericho, I'd be all right with that if he was going to defend it in ROH. But I saw that first match between the two of them and it was six. That was actually kind of the turning point for Jericho, I feel like, from an in-ring perspective. That feud, it was like all downhill from there. But Matthew Hook saying, split rosters or I can't care. Build for each brand, at least between AEW and ROH. I don't know if you want to get into brand split from like the Collision and Dynamite side. I think a soft split is good, which is kind of what they've been running with. Collision being more consequential, I think, would be good. But I mean, we've been calling for ROH and AEW splits for a long time, SP3.
For 2 years now. I was calling this during the first Jericho title. Why since the Hook feud has Tony just been running the same Jericho angles from 4 and 2 years ago? He did Orange Cassidy for a month, and now he's doing Chris Jericho, Ring of Honor World Champion. Tony, you did this. We remember. Like, sometimes, you know, the common wrestling fan might not remember everything that goes on in New Japan Pro Wrestling or in AJPW from 1993. But we know the AEW history. We know Jericho feuded with Orange Cassidy in 2020. And we know Jericho was the Ring of Honor World Champion in 2022. Why are you running the same ankles again?
He put him in a vat of orange juice. We remember, man. Like, we saw it. We saw it straight to my heart. Please, can Bill turn on Jericho like now, buddy? I wish. I thought yesterday, I knew what was going to happen, but I had a slight hope that he was going to put Mark Briscoe through the table, then take Jericho out, and we would have a non-finish, and then Mark could win the rematch. Because then it wouldn't be Jericho taking three losses in a row, but you could get a trilogy out of it. I don't know. I don't.
Well, we're going to get a trilogy now.
I hate my life. Let's dig into the episode now that we're halfway through our allotted time here on this part of the post show. But this isn't the most robust episode. In fact, part of the Athena celebration is just a replay of her match. So we won't have a ton to talk about here. But initially I was like, I hope SP3 brought a list. And then I was like, nope, I ranted for 15 minutes at the beginning of the show. So
he's like, I got it this week. I got it this week.
Let me take that one off your shoulders, SP3. Let me just be peak unhinged. Look, it's October, okay? There's no season that is more white girl than that. I am full force, okay? It is pumpkin spice latte season. I'm already like planning Christmas decorations. I'm up. I am so up. I'm ready to rant because my white girl energy is just off the charts. But I will say, I like the match that we open with if the loss is productive. We have Gates of Agony, Khan and Toa Leona, who look great, man. Like, I hope they stay on some sort of creative track because I feel like they were put in there as like, wow, what badass beaters. But like, they can stand alone as a full-on tag team. Defeating the Infantry with the open gates on Dean. And I gotta say, commentary always kills it. They did such a good job pointing out the behavioral differences and changes in both these guys, but especially Carly Bravo, because you know he's going to play into that a little bit. We saw the kind of recruitment, or at least like the loving taunting almost from Shane Taylor Promotions before. So I'm more okay with this loss if it means something. We did actually have a super chat emphasizing the same thing from Cody Anderson. Thank you so much, Cody, for this chat. I don't think I recognize your name as much, so I appreciate you putting some money down for us. Thank you so much. Saying, I'm okay with the infantry taking the L against Gates because it further sets up them joining STP, or at least advancing that storyline. I'm totally with you there. My faith in this promotion just, like, after last night was in the basement, so I was just like, F this, F everything. The infantry rule. They shouldn't be losing. Aren't they feuding with the other guys, with Jack Jameson and the Iron Savages? Come on! Like, I was...
They forgot that one.
I was up in arms. Up in arms, SP3. But this match got a lot of time. It was very good. Very, very good. I think all four of them got to show out. I really loved how accessible the story that was told, especially by the infantry in this. Like, how accessible they made it, and then... Man, commentary just, it's like when you're going to bed and you have a cozy little sound machine on. Like, when you get Eden Caprice just bringing you along. I don't mean that they put you to sleep. I mean that it's like, it's so comforting to have them on commentary. I really, really liked what we got in this opener, which is more than I can say for what I said for the first half hour of the show. What did you think?
I enjoyed this. This was a solid opener to the show. I thought that, you know, the Gates of Agony, it made sense for them to win, even without what we saw prior, but going with the story of the infantry kind of having this character shift initiated by that whole conversation, the backstage segment with STP that we saw a couple of weeks ago. It just made sense for everything to happen the way it did. Liked Carly Bravo on the outside, using the barricade, throwing Khan into the barricade
really to gain great the advantage stuff
for the infantry. And I love that commentary noted that as well. But the Gates of Agony are just so, you know, overpowering. So it took them opening the gate to pick up the victory in this one. So everything made sense here. And I feel like Gates of Agony is the type of team that you can keep in Ring of Honor and build up, let them get a couple of more wins. And they seem like a team that should be the ones to dethrone Sammy Guevara and Dustin Rhodes, because we've been asking for a while, hey, build up some of these heel tag teams, because all we see getting wins is all the babyface tag teams on this show. So it was nice to see a heel tag team that you could be like, oh, that's the team right there that should beat, so we can keep the tag team titles on this show without having Khan lose to the next guy that comes in, like Shelton Benjamin, even though that was a good matchup and the best use of Sammy that I've seen on AEW television in quite some time. But Sammy is one half of the Ring of Honor World Tag Team title, Tag Team Champions, which still doesn't make sense now, 2-3 months later.
Sure, and like we said, the Von Erichs are the Van Erichs. They can't leave Texas, so the six-man titles are just
I'll be honest, I totally forgot.
Can't blame you. Can't blame you. I love this from Darkman saying, let Kate rage this week, dumb, pissed her off. You know what it was? Last week, my Steelers won. Zack Sabre Jr. has won the IWGP title. And my Yankees won. It's just the universe balancing me out. I get it. Yeah. I get it. Like, it's just inevitable. It's inevitable that you've got to have something come back down.
Bring you back down to earth. I got to meet TMDK and say I was the co-host of TMDK. So,
How are Shane and Mikey? They're the best.
they're great. They're great. Me and Zach were chopping it up. He lived in New York. I never knew that. He lived in New York at one time. He lived in Greenpoint in Brooklyn. So that was fascinating.
That tracks so great much.
Time. Yes,
if
it
ZSJ's
did.
ZSJ's living in New York. He's living in Greenpoint. But that's awesome. Oh, I love that. Yes. I love that. Yes. What a special moment for him to get to come home with that. So they giveth and they taketh away with the Jericho win. But Feely Dreepy saying, I think the thing I hated most about the Jericho was a most about how Jericho brought up Jay Briscoe was he performed it like it was just local sports team heat. Yes, because there's not really a connection between Jay Briscoe and Jericho. So it feels like to me, that's why I kept saying it felt unearned, was because there are so many people with entrenched ROH histories that if you were going to take that shot, it would feel really vicious. Jericho wasn't one because he doesn't have a deep-seated rivalry with them. And to your point, they were kind of half-assed shots. Like, they weren't all
they
that
weren't
bad.
Really,
so
they weren't really insults. Like, Oh my God. Like, even I see, and I'm saying this as someone who's been a fan of Jay. I've met him a couple of times. I love Jay Briscoe. Think him and Mark the greatest tag team of our generation. But here, if I was the writing, since sometimes Tony Khan or someone from AEW might watch this, if I was the writer, and if you're gonna take a shot at Jay, here's what you could have said: Hey, Mark. Thank God you're on AEW television now that your brother's gone, because he was the only reason you weren't here before. That's a shot at Jay Briscoe that feels like something that is an insult that Mark Briscoe should respond to and should take offense of. If you're going to say something, you got to kind of go to reality. The reality of the situation is that is kind of a truth. That's kind of the truth. It's not all the way the truth, but at least it's kind of a truth. Instead of saying Jay Briscoe was a great wrestler, he's better than you.
He had the title twice and you've had it once. So yeah, like that doesn't seem like something that would piss off Mark Briscoe. You're right. You're right. Now, if you said that to one of the Jacksons about the other ones, that I would believe, right? That I would believe a little bit more, but... We move along on this episode. Guys, thank you so much for the support emotionally with chats. I thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. Feel free to send in super chats about other stuff going on in AEW or this episode of the show. And just a reminder to leave a thumbs up on this video. If you're joining late, I think you will find that at the beginning of this show, my rant deserves a thumbs up. I think you'll find that. So just trust me on that and leave a thumbs up. We do have the TNA post show coming up on the back end of this as we head home to Bound for Glory. But here we've got Reyna defeating Viva Van, which surprised me a little bit just because I'm not as familiar with Reyna, and Viva Van I'm much more familiar with. But with a really cool guillotine leg drop in this, I've been asking for ROH to be a platform for more incoming talent from other promotions, because I think that's a fun way to, if you're not going to have your own titles, you might as well have someone else's around, right? This was not a title match, but it was a nice showcase of women's wrestling, and I think this was a good match, and I always like matches where I get to see talent that I'm less familiar with kind of show out, and I feel like I got that out of this women's match.
Anywhere worth going is worth going in good boots, and you can find your perfect pair at Tecovas. Tecovas crafts quality Western boots for everyone, from generational ranchers and lifelong cowboys to first-time boot buyers, which is what I was up until a couple of years ago. Growing up in Kentucky, you see boots everywhere, but I never jumped into the game until I found Tecovas, and I love it. Every one of Tecovas boots are handcrafted with over 200 meticulous steps for broken-in comfort right out of the box. Whether it's a long day or a big night, your Tecovas are built to last and impress. That's why Esquire loves them and says they're the reason we keep coming back to Tecovas. They are so comfortable. Plus, with Tecovas Best in the West guarantee, you get free returns and exchanges for 30 days. And right now, get 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS when you sign up for email and text. That's 10% off at tecovas.com/SRS. That's tecovas.com/SRS. See site for details. Tecovas, point your toes west.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, this was a nice little showcase for Arena coming over from CMLL. Viva Van is always very talented, but I think that she kind of meshed better with Reyna than she typically does with like a AEW ROH talent, because she's familiar kind of with that, with that lucha style. I think that she kind of meshed pretty well here. This was a decent enough matchup, but Reyna, I think that she's really talented. Like the way she moves, very athletic, showed off her agility, and that guillotine at the end was an impressive way to kind of close the matchup. And I'm so used to seeing, if it's a CMLO woman star over in another company, used to be Stephanie Vaquer when she was there, or it would be La Cantalina, or it would be Zezusi. So it was nice to see someone different outside of the typical ladies that I've seen from CMLL.
I agree with you. I think if you are interested in CMLL, it's not something that we cover as extensively on here. We always cover the pay-per-views and our editorial team's all over it. But Luis Polito, our regular moderator, is a fantastic resource. He's so knowledgeable and passionate about everything going on in CMLL and kind of in Lucha in general too. I think he keeps up with AAA, but is not as enthused about that product as seems to be a growing trend. But honkin' amazing. Well, you're honkin' amazing. Thank you so much for this chat saying, I want to congratulate you legends on having an ROH post show that has more live viewers than ROH itself. Keep keeping it real. You know, it breaks my heart. Like, my rants are not as much about me as the viewer as much as the talent, but it does feel like they're wasting viewers' time sometime. And it really broke my heart to see genuinely people canceling their memberships when Jericho won yesterday. Like, this is, I don't know if they think it's go home heat, but it's, I want to turn the channel heat. I would have turned off Dynamite if I wasn't reviewing it yesterday. It was just flat out bad and very predictable. Like, I wasn't like, oh, I wonder if Shelton Benjamin's gonna win this. I wonder if Lance Archer and Brian Cage are gonna beat the jobbers that they're against. Like, but like at the same time, I watched and saw they have a really cool tag team finisher, right? So there's good and bad.
The choke bomb, which is not as good as the power bottom, but it's still pretty cool.
Nothing is as good as the power bottom. I love those guys so much. But I also love Layla Hirsch returning to ROH television. This made me very, very happy. She's been sidelined with injury for the past 2 months, but she vowed to finally win gold in ROH. Not a ton to write home about promo-wise, like kind of standard stuff, but I have been a proponent for Layla Hirsch for a long time. I call her Little Lady Taz because that's what she is to me. She's such an incredibly strong little badass, man. I absolutely love her. So very happy to see her back. I don't know if she'll pick up things with like Rachel Elring or if she'll dive into a title picture, but I would love to see her go after that TV title, SP3.
Yeah, she seems like a good candidate to be the one to dethrone Red Velvet, or even go after the Ring of Honor Women's World Championship. We've kind of all kind of been in the zone of Billy Stark should probably be the one to dethrone Athena, but I really wouldn't mind if they threw in Layla Hirsch because of that performance that she had in the Texas Death Match at Death Before Dishonor before getting the injury, or even going, like I said before, with the TV title. Layla Hirsch seems like someone who should end the year with some type of championship gold. So glad to see her back. She's very talented, and I feel like she can kind of fill the role that has kind of been vacant since Marina Shafir has been called up to the AEW main roster.
Excellent call on that. We will move on to Rocky Romero defeating Brandon Cutler for some reason. Sure. He wins with the sliced bread. I love seeing Rocky wrestle. Like, I think he's great. I think he's one of the most valuable people in wrestling for all of his contributions. Brandon Cutler gave a pre-match promo that was Brandon Cutler being Brandon Cutler. I don't know what to say other than that, but maybe overselling himself a little bit, perhaps. This match was fine. It was just, there was not necessarily a reason for it. But this was a really thin episode. It would be perfectly fair. I'm looking at the rest of my notes. Like, not really a ton happening. Not really a ton happening on here. Perfectly good match, though. I love Rocky. I'm never going to complain about getting to see him wrestle. There was a men's world title match tonight in the TV championship picture, and the women's title celebration and throwback. So there was some gold represented, but like, again, we don't have divisions or contenders, so this was just a match.
This felt like I was watching a dark match that aired accidentally. Brandon Cutler coming out and doing local town heat for the mascot, the Stockton Kings, which I was just like, what? I was like, did they get it wrong? Because it literally has the Sacramento Kings logo, but it said Stockton on it instead of Sacramento. So I was like, what is going on? Y'all couldn't even get the Sacramento Kings mascot. You had to get Stockton Kings mascot. And then I realized, oh, they were in Stockton, California. Okay, yeah. That makes more sense. But I don't care because I'm not from Stockton, California. So Why couldn't this be beef? I don't know. I'm sorry. I said it. This show would have been much better if beef was in this spot. I love Rocky, but Rocky, you're in the conglomeration. You got a main roster spot. This could have been beef versus Brandon Cutler here.
This is the beef agenda. I appreciate it. You gotta keep beef fresh before it goes bad. You know what I mean? So just because Anthony Henry's out doesn't mean that you should just abandon beef. No. We stand no. here. We stand no. here. Be enormous. Right along with you, man, saying, I was considering canceling Honor Club before Jericho won, though he likely won't show up there anyway. that was my actual initial reaction when I saw people canceling it. I was like, I get it. Because it's a condemnation that they don't care about the product. But, like, it's not going to be your way to avoid seeing Jericho if that's what you were going for. Just so you know. Like, he's not going to be on the show. No beef on the show. One star in the Tokyo Dome. Man, even in the Tokyo Dome, only one star.
In
the
Tokyo Dome.
That's tough.
It only got that one star bump, too, because it's in the Tokyo Dome.
It
would have been a dud anywhere else.
That's what happens when there's no beef on the show.
No beef. What are we doing? What are we doing?
What are we doing?
He can't chill.
He is a very, very entertaining guy. Very entertaining guy. Guys, thank you so much for the support tonight. We're going to continue along with our ROH show. We do have that TNA post show coming on the back end, and we will have our Bet Online AG betting odds for you. But before we get to those, we're going to let Sean Ross Sapp tell you a little bit about Bet Online in general. And then at the switchover, we're going to ask Joel and Cresta what they think of the picks.
By now, you guys know how much I love BetOnline. Every betting odds that we have ever had on Fightful, whether it be MMA, boxing, pro wrestling, come from BetOnline AG. We've given you guys a ton of great underdog picks, but you know what? They got so much more to offer at BetOnline AG. The earliest lines, the fastest payouts, the industry's best bonuses at BetOnline AG. They've been trusted for over 25 years by millions of people because of their safe and secure environment, their high credit card acceptance, and their payouts in minutes. But it doesn't end there. Baseball, basketball, fighting, soccer, or football, whatever you want to call it, BetOnline has you covered. Not just that, incredible games. Blackjack, roulette, Golden Dragon, Inferno. BetOnline has it all for you. Your one-stop shop, and this is not a fly-by-night operation. They've been around for 25-plus years, giving you the goods. Go make yourself some money. Please bet responsibly and only bet what you can.
BetOnline AG, we're going to tell you all about that later, but thank you so much for joining us. I'm seeing a lot of new names in the chat, which always makes me happy. So normally I'm not that cranky as I was at the beginning of the show, but we do have a ton of fun here. This is a dual review of ROH and TNA, so feel free to stick around if you have any interest in that product or the upcoming pay-per-view. Bound for Glory, I believe, is basically their WrestleMania, so stick around for that. But we're going to talk about Lee J defeating, I think it's Jaya Jewell and Brett Hankins with a really delicious pop-up spine buster. Ugh.
Spine buster net breaker combo.
Yeah, that was nasty looking, man. I loved that. That was really, really cool. Team Lee J is something that has been thrown around both in the media and that I've heard has been a name that's been kind of mentioned a little bit as far as maybe being in the Hurt Syndicate picture. I know Swerve was saying that he's got his eyes on Team Lee J, so maybe as opposing support or in the Hurt Syndicate itself. But I had said a couple months ago that I feel like, especially EJ and Duka, but I like the idea of that tag team moving up with this group, would be such a good, just like, big badass dude to be standing there with Bobby Lashley. Like, his size, his charisma, I feel like matches up really well with Bobby Lashley. So whether they're face to face or on the same side, I want to see that. But getting them some wins here could be good. I was also thinking, I was starting to piece things together, would Shelton Benjamin beat Sammy Guevara? And I had seen these names thrown around. I was like, oh, maybe Team Lee J is going to be in the Hurt Syndicate, and we'll see. That tag team match would be something that had some cohesion to it. So just kicking around in my brain head there. But I like that their name is being mentioned, because I think it's a really fun combination, as we saw here, SP3.
Yeah, they have some chemistry with one another, and that helps because they're friends in real life. So you saw it here, Team Lee J picking up the victory, and they work well together because, you know, you got EJ and Duka, who's just an absolute powerhouse, a meat house, if you will. And then you got Lee Johnson, who's just so technically proficient. He has agility as well, so they work well together. And I love that finisher, that's pop-up spine buster into the net baker combo. And I like the shout of them working with the Hurt Syndicate, because MVP, he sees color. Like, I need him to have that on the back of his business card. I see color. I just like, because he's handed it to every black person on the AEW roster. I love it. I love it. I wish they would just, they should just say it. They should just say it. That's one of the requirements to get a business card.
It is. It has always seemed like it was always seemed like it was kind of a for the culture stable. But crucially, I feel like he's also targeting former champions. And I think that's important, because if the overall target is Swerve as a former champion, I feel like MVP is looking at people and saying, you were champions, you're not now, something is missing, I can help you get back to that point. And I think that's a cool added piece of the angle, because it's all people that have been championship caliber before. And I like that there's kind of that extra criteria on it, in a sense.
I do agree there, especially when he gave one to Mercedes, who's a current champion as well. So
hell yeah. Hell yeah. I mean, Okada's heart would be so broken because he has such a crush on her. But be nervous seeing and Duka and Shoddy paired with Swerve, please. I wouldn't mind that either. Like, him rebuilding with a new fresh start, it would be so much nicer to see Swerve with the stable after he had the run he had, instead of feeling like, can we just let this guy be a breakout star? He's broken out now. He's full on broken out. So into that idea. But we have an ROH women's throwback match, and I like this better than what they've been doing the past couple weeks. I thought it was clever that an Athena celebration, which is 6 weeks late, I thought it was cool that they threw it back to the match that she won against Mercedes Martinez. She won with that O-face stunner, which looked so good. But what was so interesting to me watching this back, I'll be honest, I was half-baked paying attention. I wasn't baked, but I was like, my attention was half-baked. Paying attention to the previous ones, because they didn't have anything to do with the product. But this was so interesting to me because I feel like I've seen so much growth since this specific moment. Like, she's such a different wrestler now. And I really appreciated that we got to see this, because it feels way more relevant to the current product rather than like, hey, nostalgia, man. You know what I mean? Like, this felt like more productive to air this, in a sense. But we'll talk about the rest of the celebration in a moment. But did you pay attention to this, first of all? And did you kind of have the same reaction that I did?
Yeah, I was like, when I saw that was the match that they chose, I was like, finally, it actually relates to what we're doing. Well, last week's, because we didn't do it the review last week did as well, because it played into, you know, Mark Briscoe being in a ladder war. They showed his last ladder war, which was against the Young Bucks and SCU at Final Battle 2018. I was there live for that match, and I always enjoy saying that. I was there live for it, so that was nice to see. And then
humble
this week,
brag. Not even that humble, if we're being so for real. You're just, I saw Nigel and Danielson, and I saw this, and I saw that. Throwing your imaginary hair around. You've got the Kyle Fletcher haircut, and you're still throwing your hair around.
Got the Kyle Fletcher, I did it myself, haircut. But yes, I enjoyed this. This was a nice little touch, and it was a really good matchup between her and Mercedes Martinez. So I like them showing how the title reign start, and the fact that not only has she, you know, broken the record of Samoa Joe as the longest reigning Ring of Honor champion in the company's history, but she's about to go on to a 2-year reign if she makes it to Final Battle with the champion.
Yeah, I'm excited. I assume that she will, because I think they're just gonna, we have Abaddon, right? And then I think we'll inevitably have the turn from Billy, so yeah. I'm excited for that. But we do have our celebration with Billy Starks in the ring, who welcomes Lexi Nair and Athena to the title celebration for having the longest reign and the most defenses, which is something that commentary keeps emphasizing, which I love that they do, because like the last year of Roman Reigns' reign, for example, didn't have a whole lot of defenses. It had like 3 or whatever. So I appreciate that when it's a long reign from a workhorse champion. That's the best of both worlds. But Nair has a dance team, but Athena was frustrated by the celebration being too lackluster. SP3 was a part of that dance team, as you can see.
They didn't know what they were doing. They were like, everything. Carlton. And that's what Athena deserves, because she wanted Ja Rule. That's the same quality Ja Rule would have given her.
He's real, okay? My God. Just like Athena. Athena said, I'm real, so wanted Ja Rule.
Hey, Rule 336 says Ja Rule sucks.
I can't fully argue, but I've heard he's very nice, so it is what it is. Fun fact, my sister is an improviser, and she used to do a show where Cypher Sounds would interview a hip-hop talent, and they would do scenes based off of that. She was on a very well-established team, and she was like, anybody who like nobody had ever heard of was like late and showed up with like 100 people and sucked. She was like, Ja Rule showed up like early, was like, I'm so excited to do this. Like, introduced himself to everybody, like, was the nicest dude. So like, I'm not really a fan of his music, but I'm like, well, now that guy, like, I think he can, that's so nice to hear that.
That's fair. That's fair. That's a good reason to like Ja Rule. I'll give you that.
But to your point, Athena says that she was expecting Ja Rule to be involved and is offended by this. And says that her parents were missed out due to what are my notes saying?
Her mother got emergency surgery.
Oh yeah.
She didn't show up for the one good thing that her parents has ever done.
What a boss. She's amazing.
Totally burned her own parents. What a burn.
She like feels tweenery to me, but I'm like, that is some heel stuff. That is some heel stuff up the middle. But she says she was not overrated, but underappreciated, and takes offense to the crowd at ROH not appreciating her, before saying this was all Billy Starks' fault. As Starks says she is done before leaving the ring and walking out of the arena entirely. And then Nair introduces the spinner belt, and that leads to an Abaddon appearance, who raptures Lexi Nair under the ring and hits the Black Dahlia on Athena before throwing the celebration cake onto Athena, as all celebrations need to end by a cake throw there. But this was pretty good. I wish it happened 6 weeks ago, but there was a lot of fun in this. I love Lexi Nair just getting pulled away. I think that's such a fun aspect of everything. I like that Abaddon ruined the celebration, but in the most Abaddon way possible. This I thought was fun. I really liked what Abaddon's been doing. I think they've been great in this. So what did you think of our minion celebration? I feel like Athena deserved better.
I feel like Athena deserved better. She needed better.
But we're not Team Ja Rule, but if that's what she wanted, she should have got
it. Yeah, she should have got it. She should have got it. It wouldn't have been that much money either, so she should have got it for sure. Like Lexi, Billy would have should have gotten any expense that Ja Rule needed, and Ja Rule would have came early. He would have came on time. You said it from personal experience from your friend. So yeah. There you go. So I don't understand why they couldn't get Ja Rule. But I like this segment. It was enjoyable. It was entertaining. Athena being like, we're seeing more of the paranoid Athena here with, you know, Abaddon playing the mind games with her. And I like how they've kind of like built this up and set it up properly with Abaddon's music hitting the last couple of weeks and Athena either running away or hiding, and then Abaddon doesn't come out. And this time she thought that Abaddon wasn't going to come out again. She told Lexi Nair to hide under the ring, and then they did the little switcheroo. So that was nicely done. So I enjoyed this. In a vacuum, this would be perfect. It just feels like 6 weeks late, or at least like 4 weeks late. You could have done 2 weeks of them being like, hey, we're going to do the celebration. No, we're going to hold off on it, and we're going to do it in a couple of weeks' time. It's at least 4 weeks late. I'll give you two. You could have done 2 weeks to build up to the celebration, but damn, 6 weeks later? Like, what were y'all busy doing? What did y'all have to do besides celebrating Athena for this record? And the fact that you could have set it up where you did it 4 weeks ago, and then you could have announced the following week that Abaddon will freeze Athena on the October 31st edition of ROH TV. Because I still believe we're going to get that match next week, but it feels like it's going to be announced on social media instead of being announced on the actual damn show. Y'all been building this rivalry for now 2 months.
It'll probably be announced on an AEW platform because that's just what they do for their champions. But you know why Ja Rule didn't come? Because wasn't the whole thing at Firefest of like ham and cheese sandwiches? Wasn't that what was being served? That's true. Dalton Castle already threw all the ham sandwiches out when he was feuding with Johnny TV. So
he did.
Ja Rule was like, no.
He's like, no ham sandwiches, no Ja Rule.
That's it. Guys, we are at our main event. The TNA post show is coming right up. We're going to talk all about Bound for Glory with them. Get their thoughts so that you can get your betting locks picked in. Please leave a thumbs up. There's so many more of you watching now than were at the beginning of the show. I'm glad I didn't scare you all away with my Jericho rant. But we are going to talk quickly about this ROH Men's World TV Championship match between Brian Cage and Commander. We get that F5 looks so good. Brian Cage is basing for luchadors, just never misses, right? Like, this is good. We had an ROH title defended on the show. That's refreshing. It's nice that he's around here. I am, of course, like, have very little faith that he'll be on here all that much if he's going to be in a tag team with Lance Archer. But for tonight, this was good. I would like them to do something other than be like, Brian Cage is great with luchadors, right? Like, let's also think of other things to do, but it never misses. And I thought this match was a really fun way to close the show.
Yeah, I thought this was the match of the night. This was a good matchup between these two. Like you said, Brian Cage is like the ultimate base. He's right behind like Claudio Castagnoli on the entire AEW ROH roster as a guy that you could put in there with the Luchador and have an enjoyable matchup with. And Commander was good here. This was good Commander, where he didn't do the rope walk like 1,001 times. He only did it once, and when it counted for his finisher. And I thought the finish made Brian Cage finally feel like what he always says his character is, a machine. He got up like a machine from taking Commander's finisher, then freaking powerbombs him to death 3 times, then puts him on his shoulder, F5s him. That was awesome. I was like, this put over Brian Cage as like an unstoppable champion. If he can have more defenses like this where he looks that strong, then we have a formidable champion for eventually a babyface to overcome and beat. And we can finally have a good Ring of Honor TV title change, because the last couple have not been up to snuff.
not great. They kind of put their foot on the gas with Kyle Fletcher at the end of his reign. But it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had something productive. But we're going to welcome Joel and Cresta onto the show. I will let them add themselves. And we're going to talk some Bet Online odds as they had their Bound for Glory go home show. Now Joel's being a scotch and not adding himself.
So I heard we was adding ourselves. I'm just going to twirl on in here.
Hey, girl, what's going on? How are you, beautiful?
Am I too early? Am I too late? Should I leave?
No, okay, you're perfect. No, you're perfect. No. I'm just forcing Joel back on here.
Oh, no, I was waiting for you to do it for me. Thank you.
Welcome, welcome. How was the Bound for Glory go home show? What did we learn? What are we excited about? What is missing?
I liked a lot of it. I liked a lot of it. There were some things I was like, next segment. Come. This is a time program. But besides that, there was a lot of things I did like. Outside of the few things I didn't, I was just like, but outside of that.
Okay. You were rolling, except the things you didn't like. You were like, get the hell out of here. I respect that.
Not so much get the hell out of here. I'm just saying, you know, let's be conscious of our time.
Let's be aware. I can appreciate that. Joel, what did you think of tonight's? Are you feeling good going into the pay-per-view?
I hate Santino Marella so much.
Wow. Almost spit my drink out.
Okay. So much.
What did Santino Marella do to you
I'm going to talk about that when we get to our show. But if I have to hear Santino Marella try and...
Are you going to rant about Santino like I did about Jericho? Because there was just 10 minutes at the beginning of the show where I was just out of my mind. Just
more rant.
Why does Frankie Kazarian have tenure over Santino Marella? Why does he get to go to the Anthem Board of Directors and say, give me a special guest referee spot and not Santino Marella? Why does Frankie Kazarian, who left TNA to go work for AEW for 4 years, get to suddenly waltz his ass back in and say, I'm the man, give me what I want? Why does Frankie Kazarian get that when all he had to do was make up some bullshit excuse that made Santino give him that role instead? Why do we have to invoke the Anthem Board of Directors? Why are we doing this on the night before, two nights before your pay-per-view? What the fuck are we doing?
Come on, Joel. Remember when I said next program? That's what I was talking
about. I get it. You're using four baby faces in your main event. That's also a questionable act. We talked about that. I did True Heel Heats with SB3 and Chad. We talked about the Bound for Glory show. We re-previewed the card. And SB3 knows that when we got to the main event, I sat there and I was like, there are so many things at play. And now I'm more serious than ever that Joe Hendry's probably just going to win. And then they're going to give him a guitar at the next night at the tapings and say, here, go do a concert with Jeff Hardy like we said we'd do. And then we're all just going to go kumbaya for 3 months.
Okay, well, but see, while you say that's a bad thing, I'm not above Joe Hendry kumbaya with a guitar. Last time we got Can You Please Get Fired, and that was a banger.
That wasn't him who wrote it.
Listen, he performed it, and I choose to believe Kayf. Joel, don't be an angry Canadian.
I'm scared. After talking to Joe about Bound for Glory, I'm scared they're honey dicking us again, and they're not going to give us Joe Hendry winning on Saturday.
I'm hopeful that they are. Did you see JBL posting from the gym? He's up. He's ready to go. He could be the next TNA champion if we're lucky.
Yeah, he's gonna win the Call Your Shot Gauntlet. He's close line from Mel.
That's
right. He wins the TNA World Title.
If only we had some way of getting the odds of how this show might go.
Joel, you're not going to believe this.
Oh, my God.
But BetOnline.ag, who we told you about earlier in the show, has your Bound for Glory betting odds up right now. You can go place your bets. Huge partner of ours. They've been wonderful to us. They're one of the few places where, yes, you can bet on wrestling, which is so cool. They've got AEW, WWE covered, and of course TNA, Bound for Glory. They also have stuff for just like John Cena's last run and Hall of Fame induction, I think, like who's gonna induct him and things like that. So they've got some fun prop bets in addition to the cards, but we're gonna run down this and we're gonna let Joel and Cresta weigh in on who they think should win and how heavily favorited these odds are, if that's a fair shake. But for the Monsters Ball match, we've got Matt Cardona at a minus 400, PCO at a plus 250. Do you guys feel like that's about right?
No.
No.
Negative means they're the favorite.
Yeah.
Minus 400 means they're favorite. Yeah.
Oh no.
How is Cardona?
Because Cardona could cheat. Because Cardona.
No, it's because it's Cardona. People don't know.
Well, there you go, though. If you want an underdog bet, PCO. Right?
Yeah, there's your underdog bet, PCO. We might be having more of these. Let's find out.
PCO
has never lost a Monsters Ball match in TNA, and the only one he's ever lost was when he lost the Black Label Pro Heavyweight Championship to Calvin Tankman, and that was a four-way Monsters Ball match.
That was before my TNA time. And also, Kate, I can approve what you did. Instead of PCO.
That is fantastic. I love that. For the Steve Macklin and Josh Alexander match, Steve Macklin with a minus 220, Josh Alexander with a plus 165. So Macklin favored it here, but not too heavily. What do you guys think?
After tonight, I think Alexander gets the win, but he cheats because that's how he beat Jonathan Gresham in the match. He cheated to win tonight.
Basically, I agree.
Going through the whole show at this point, so let's go.
Do you think the referee will use his Jonathan discretion in the match?
If it's Daniel Spencer, he won't know what the hell he's doing. Shout out Daniel Spencer, referee to the Distracted Stars.
Jordan Grace, an overwhelming favorite here at a negative 1,500 with Masha Slamovich at a plus 600. If there's a shot in hell that Masha Slamovich might win this, you could make some real money, but is that a possibility?
Yes,
definitely going to win this.
Please put all your money on Masha.
Put your money on Masha. Masha is definitely going to win this. Like, hey, who's booking these bets?
This is great. We haven't had underdog picks in a long time. I think maybe the misguiding of the TNA product could make you some big money.
You don't watch TNA. We can tell that's how you book this.
They're just picking who's the bigger star. Who's the bigger star?
It does feel that way. It does feel that way. But your TNA Knockouts World Tag Team Championship, Jody Threat and Danny Luna with a minus 350, Rosemary and Wendy Chu at a plus 225. Your guys' thoughts?
Yes, that is accurate because you need to have the tag titles on Spitfire until mm-hmm. Reckless Elegance wins and then Havoc and Rosemary get it back.
I hate that Joel's right, but Joel, the old man up north, he's on to something. He's right.
We'll move on to Moose versus Mike Santana. A minus 200 on Moose, plus 150 on Santana. So not an overwhelming favorite, but a slight edge for Moose in this.
Moose finna cheat, because that's all the system does. But Santana is going to beat the brakes off of Moose. We're going to win as fans, but Moose is not getting out of that unscathed. I could see Moose winning that.
I think that's right. And I think it turns into either a dog collar match or some sort of chain match.
Yeah.
One of the shows coming up, maybe at WrestleCade.
Your world championship match. By the way, I saw Mike Santana live at Excite Wrestling where I do commentary, and he had some of the gnarliest chops I've ever heard.
Jesus, special boy.
Headset on, obviously, for commentary, and it was like, they're pretty heavy duty. They drown out the crowd pretty well, and I could still hear those chops so loud. My goodness. But Joe Hendry at a minus 1,000 to Nick Nemeth at a plus 550. What you guys think?
I don't know, man.
This one's a toss-up. Okay.
This one is a toss-up because, like Kristen and I will talk about later in our post-show, there are so many things at play, from JBL to the stupid guitar. I wasn't kidding. They're doing a concert the next night at the tapings, and it feels a little weird if you're going to make it televised to have the winners of your main events do a happy song, sing-song event. It's weird.
Sure.
And then there's other stuff at play. Obviously, the Frankie Kazarian stuff, Call Your Shot Gauntlet winner, whether that's going to be Kazarian or somebody else. Like, there are certain things at play. Who's going to win the Macklin and Alexander contest? That's also probably going to play a role in reading the tea leaves as to who goes after the world champion next, because you got a babyface and you got a heel. So you got to figure out which main event is going to be the main eventer.
I will also say this. I think that at some point you have to put the belt on Joe Hendry because he's so over. Strike while the iron is hot. But the story they're telling does not indicate that. The story they're telling is like, you want it? You want, so I hope, I really hope we get Hendry, but I could see some stunt show shenanigans of the Josh Alexander Kazarian kind too. So sure. I don't know.
A lot of stuff dovetailing on this pay-per-view, and that's one that you can win some money and not throw a ton down. Like, that's not as much as that Jordan Grace one, but take what you can get on this card. But your TNA World Tag Team Championship three-way, the Hardys at a minus 1,000, the System at a plus 700, and ABC also at a plus 700. Are the Hardys winning TNA Gold again?
Yep. But we said this on the True Heel Heat. I swear to God, I can speak on the Bound for Glory prediction show. They're doing a full North Carolina run all the way to WrestleCade. That's the next big event. So yeah, you want a big Hardy love fest for the next month that starts in Detroit.
I wasn't even thinking of it that way. I'm thinking of it more like the Hardys are very over right now. The System, I think there's a lot at play with them going on. The tag titles aren't needed for them, but whoever does beat the Hardys, oh, you're going to be an asshole. You know what I mean? Like, you're automatically a bad guy. So you wouldn't want someone like ABC, who you're trying to build towards a baby face. And the System, like I said, they got a lot going on right now. So I think they do hold it to WrestleCade as well.
And finally, your TNA X Division Championship, Mike Bailey at a minus 700 to retain, with Vikingo at a plus 400. That seems pretty right to me. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
Yep, works for me. Speedball is an X Division champion that has 5.5 star matches, and everybody loves it. So it'll be one of those matches.
I will say this. Something I learned from Joel Pearl is that what do luchadors do on TNA? Lose. So next question.
True. Excellent. It's true. Whenever a luchador comes to TNA wrestling, they're there to lose. Except for that one time Laredo Kid won the Digital Media Championship.
Fair.
That was a means to an end, though. That was just to give AJ the championship.
That's similar to Ring of Honor. Similar to Ring of Honor. Luchadors lose over here too.
Unless their names are hologram, but that's not Ring of Honor.
Well, right? He's not.
Give it time. Yeah. Give it time. Yeah. Give it a few weeks.
Hologram's feet also don't touch the ground. You ever see his feet touch the ground? I've never seen it.
Ring of Hologram. Just you wait.
So what I've learned, go bet on Masha Slamovic because you're going to win some money. That's what I learned. Yeah. But we are going to throw it over to Joel and Cressa. They're going to tell you all about this go-home episode and what to look for leading into Bound for Glory. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Thanks for the super chats tonight. We got a lot of them because I went off. But we'll catch you guys next week.
You trying to say Angertainment gets money?
Yep.
Listen, yep. It's authentic Angertainment. Okay, that was not manufactured. There was not a manufactured moment in that very long rant. So, we'll see you guys next week.
Thanks, guys.
Later, guys.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.